Chapter 18. The courtroom in Las Lomas was busier than usual. A Tuesday in September, the air conditioning bust, Judge Rhodes fanned himself with a file and loosened his collar. Walk sat near the front, just as he did 30 years before. "There's no hope of bail, not for a capital case," Martha said. She'd met him outside early, and they'd crossed the street and grabbed a coffee. She was smart, suit and heels, light makeup, enough to make Walk feel dumb for ever thinking he might have had a shot at keeping her. He looked around, lawyers and their clients, navy suits against orange suits, pleas and deals and deficient promises. Judge Rhodes fought a yawn. The courtroom hushed when he was let in. The people seeking death, a case with profile. Judge Rhodes sat up a little straighter, rebuttoned his collar. Reporters at the back, no cameras, just pens and pads. Martha left Walk and went up to the bench where Vincent settled beside her. The DA, Elise Deschamps, straight, stern, took to the front and ran through the charges. Walk tried to read his friend, but from where he sat, he could not clearly see his face. When Elise was done, Vincent stood. Walk felt the lean edge of seats, eyes locked on the man that killed a child, then came back 30 years later for her sister. Vincent stated his name. Judge Rhodes detailed the charges again, then added the state would settle for life with no parole in exchange for a guilty plea. Walk breathed again. The deal had been offered. When Judge Rhodes asked for his plea, Vincent turned and met Walk's eye. "Not guilty." Now there were murmurs. Talk till Rhodes quietened them. Martha looked at the judge. Something desperate in her eyes led to a call to approach. "Mr. King, your lawyer's worried you don't understand the charge and the offer," Rhodes said.
"I understand."
Vincent did not look back as the guard led him from the room. Walk stepped out and into the morning sun. Las Lomas, the pretty square with the towering statue, a kneeling woman, her head bowed by the hallowed court. The trial was set for the following spring. The drive back, Walk's body breaking to cold sweats, the quaking so bad it tired out his mind. He caught his eyes in the rearview mirror but could not rub the blood from them. The beard was long. He'd made a new notch on his belt. His uniform was big now. The shoulders fell over onto the tops of his biceps. He pulled into a liquor store by Bitterwater and bought a six-pack. Martha lived in a small house on Billington Road, far enough out of town. A white gate led to a path bordered by neat lines of flowers, the grass beside green and lush. Baskets hung from ornate hooks, the kind of house that would have made him smile on another day. Inside was cluttered with papers. Every inch of the house spoke of work, of defending those less able. He found his way onto the privacy of the porch and was two beers down by the time Martha came out with a bowl of corn chips. He ate one, and she laughed as the flavor seared off his taste buds.
"You're an animal.
Some like it hot." They sat close, side by side, as they drank. It was not until the day fell away that Walk calmed. Two beers, that's all he'd allowed himself. He wanted to get drunk, to scream and curse and shake sense into Vincent King. Martha sipped wine.
"You have to get him to plea."
Walk rubbed the tension from his neck, always there now.
"Vincent's case is not winnable. You do know that," she said.
"I know that."
"Which means only one thing."
Walk looked up.
"Vincent King wants to die."
"So what do I do?"
"You sit here and drink with me while we lament the sorriest state of affairs."
"Tempting, or?"
"You work the case."
"I am."
Martha sighed. "Knocking doors and praying someone saw something isn't working a case. You have to get out there and find your angle. And if it can't be found, you make it yourself. Balls, Chief. It's all about balls now."
Wind blew across the highway and smoked dust from the ground. Early evening, only a couple of pickups, but Walk heard music before he reached the door. He stopped for a moment, looked at the wide strip of San Luis, and thought of Star there, dragging the kids behind her. Inside was dull light, the strong smell of tobacco and stale beer. The booths were empty,
Just a couple of guys at the bar and a small cluster around a stage built from painted wooden crates. The singer was old, bluegrass, a long way from home, but the men tapped their thighs as they drank. He had a description of the guy from Dutchess, given over when he'd sat her down and they'd slowly gone through the kind of months and years that saw his head heavy by the time they were done. The girl had spoken with an evenness that wrenched his soul, like she knew nothing of childhood at all. He found him straight off, cropped hair and thick beard, strong arms that hinted at field work. Bud Morris. Walk sidled up as Bud rolled his eyes like trouble with the law was a consequence of his way. Could I speak with you? Bud looked him up and down, then laughed. Walk drank club soda. He was not a man who enjoyed confrontation despite the training, the badge, and what it meant. Words rang loud in his ears. Leave it to state. He gripped his glass hard. Martha's words rang louder. Bud went to the restroom. Walk stood and followed him in, took a deep breath and drew his gun as the man was pissing. He pressed it to the back of Bud's head. Adrenaline coursed, his hands shook, his knees shook. Fuck! Bud pissed on his jeans. Walk pressed harder. Sweat ran down his nose. Jesus, all right, what the hell is wrong with you? Walk lowered the gun. Now, I could have done that at the bar in front of your friends, made you piss your pants for an audience. Bud glared, then dropped his eyes, defeat coming at him fast. Outside, they heard hollers as the old guy moved on to Man of Constant Sorrow. Star Radley, Walk said. Bud looked confused, then it hit him and he sobered right up. I heard you got into it with her and her daughter. She was playing. You couldn't keep your hands to yourself. Bud shook his head. Nothing in that. Walk felt wired. He wondered about his sanity pulling a gun on a man out of a restroom, looking for his angle. I took her out a couple times. And? It didn't work out, that was all. Walk reached for the gun again till Bud stepped back. I swear it, nothing happened. You got rough with her? No, never, nothing like that. I treated her nice. Shit, I even took her to that place on Bleecker. $20 steak. I booked a motel, a nice one. She said no. Bud looked at his feet, his pissy jeans, the gun. Not just no. I'm not a man that can't take no. Shit, there's women. Ask around, I'd do all right. But Star, she gave the illusion of it, being into me. But it wasn't just no, not now. It was never. That's what she said, never. What the fuck is that? Never. It was like she was trying hard to be someone she wasn't. An act, maybe. All of it, an act. An act? I reckon she did the same with other men. The neighbor. I picked her up one time and he came over, told me not to waste my time. Which neighbor? Right next door, 70s-looking dude. Where were you June 14th? Bud smiled when it came to him. I know when it was. We had Elvis Cudmore playing. I was right here. Ask anyone. Walk left him there, cut through the small crowd, and headed out into night air, heart still pounding. He crossed the lot, squatted by a dumpster, and puked. Chapter 19. She ate her lunch beneath an oak tree, eyes on her brother. The first week passed quietly. She did not speak to anyone. Thomas Noble made overtures. She dismissed him curtly. Robin was in K2. They had their own area sectioned off by a low fence. Each day he played with the same girl and boy. They stood at the mud kitchen, Robin and the girl short-order cooks, the other boy fetching and delivering to oblivious others. She didn't notice she was not alone until shadow cut the light, shade falling over her as she looked up. I thought I might enjoy your tree, Thomas Noble carried his lunch, a bulging sack in his good hand. She sighed. He sat and cleared his throat. I've been watching you. Well, that's not creepy at all. She shuffled further from him. I was thinking, would you like to... Never. My father said my mother turned him down the first time, but her eyes said yes, so he persisted. Spoken like a true rapist. Beside her, he spread out a large, thick cloth napkin. Then he laid out a bag of potato chips, a Twinkie, Reese's peanut butter cups, a bag of marshmallows, and a can of soda. It's a wonder more people don't know about this spot. It's a wonder you haven't contracted diabetes. He ate quietly, each bite muted as he pushed thick frames up his nose. He kept his bad hand holstered in his pocket. Watching him open the marshmallows with his teeth was painful.
You can use the weak hand, she said, finally. Don't hide it on my account.
Symbrachydactyl. It's when
I do not care. He ate a marshmallow.
Robin ran up to the fence and showed her a purple plate with a clump of dirt on it. He mouthed, hot dog, and she smiled.
He's a cutie, Thomas Noble said.
You some kind of pervert?
No, of course not. I just...
He left it there. Behind was woodland, out of bounds, long timbers stacked to make fencing, bleached back to bone.
I heard you're from the Golden State. Beautiful this time of year. I think I have a cousin in Sequoia.
The National Park. He went back to eating.
Say, do you like movies?
No.
How about ice skating? I'm actually quite good at...
No. He shrugged off his jacket.
I like your bow. There's a photo of me with a bow in my hair when I was a baby.
Do you have an inner monologue?
My mother liked to pretend I was the daughter she always wanted. But then all that testosterone kicked in and shat on her dreams.
He offered her a peanut butter cup. She pretended not to notice. They watched a group of boys pass. One of them said something and they laughed. Thomas Noble shoved his hand even deeper into his pocket. She straightened a little when she saw a boy snatch the plate from Robin. Robin went to grab it back, but the other boy, taller, held it from his reach, then threw it to the ground. As Robin bent to pick it up, he was pushed over. Duchess, up on her feet and moving, eyes locked tight on the kid as Robin began to cry. She watched other girls laughing, talking in clusters and twirling their hair, a different species altogether. She hopped the fence. There was no teacher, no lunch lady watching out. She helped Robin up, dusted his shorts down, and palmed his tears.
All right, I want to go home, he sniffed.
She pulled him close and held him till he calmed.
I'll get us home. I promise it. I've got it figured. When I'm done here, I'll get a job and a place and we can go home, right? I mean, home to Grandpa.
His friends stood beside, the girl and the boy. The girl came over, plaited hair, dungarees with a flower on the pocket. She patted Robin's back.
Don't worry about Tyler. He's just mean to everyone, she said.
Yeah, the boy agreed.
You want to go fix more hot dogs for the diner?
Duchess smiled and he left her. She watched him go play. Nothing more to do above it, all forgotten. She turned and found Tyler by the fence, going at it with a stick.
Kid!
He turned, and she knew the look.
What?
She knelt in the dirt, rough on her knees, the sun behind. She grabbed his shirt and pulled him close.
You touch my brother again and I'll behead you, expletive? Principal Duke said, fingers steepled over his stomach, his face tight with concern.
Duchess straightened.
I never said expletive.
Hal smiled.
Well, that's something.
What did you say?
Motherfucker.
Principal Duke flinched like the word cut him deep.
Now, this does give us a problem.
Duchess could smell the coffee on his breath. The cologne splashed onto his polyester tie, just about masking the body odor beneath.
I don't see why.
Hal, hands red, skin cracked. He smelled of the acres outside and forest, Radley land.
It's the nature of the threat. I mean, beheading like that.
The girl's an outlaw.
Duchess almost smiled.
I don't think you're taking this as seriously as you should.
Hal stood.
I'll take her out now, the rest of the day out of school. I'll talk to her. It won't happen again. Right?
She might have fought it then, made trouble because the bedrock was late. She thought of Robin already making a couple of friends here.
If he touches Robin, then I can't promise.
Hal cleared his throat loud.
I won't use those words again.
Principal Duke looked like he had more to say as she stood and followed Hal from the office. They drove out in silence. Duchess rode up front. Instead of making a left, Hal headed east, the road opening up beneath a sky that flashed silver as the sun hid. A dairy farm, steel barns, the color of mint. Then, a town nothing more than Maine and the small streets that fed it.
down backwater roads before they met pines like skyscrapers. A river beside them shone like mica as it fed the gorge, the mountain that loomed frosted white at the peaks, lazy tracks winding their way up. They climbed, Duchess craning to see back as they cleared the trees, and the waterway snaked its own path. They slowed for another truck, passing opposite, a cowboy who dipped his hat. They parked by a bluff, rock, sand, and dust, the pines picking up again, growing out and wide on the side of the mountain. Hal got out and she followed. He threaded the trees and she kept pace, the faintest of gaps, but Hal navigated like he knew the trail and where each of its branches would carry. Montana unfolded in front, 1,000 miles of natural shades, water, and land. She caught pine scent, watched men and waders fishing the clearest water a mile up. Beside her, Hal lit a cigar. Trout streams. He pointed toward breaks, the fishermen like dots on a mighty canvas. There's a canyon 50 miles in, so deep people say it doesn't bottom out till Red Rock. Take any trail, the back country, you won't see another person again. 1,000,000 acres. Free.
Is that why you ran here?
Hide from the world? She kicked a rock and watched it fall.
You want to call a truce?
Not even a little. He smiled at that. Your brother tells me you like to sing.
There's nothing I like.
Ash fell to the dirt.
The natives called this the backbone of the world. There's water a shade of teal you've never seen. It's so cold. The glacier melt and silt. Nothing can grow beneath. It just stays clear for all time. No clouding. Nothing hiding. There's something special about that, don't you think?
She stayed silent.
And that reflection, so true, it's like the world is nothing but sky flipped on its head. I'll take Robin out when he's a little older on the jammer, maybe a boat trip if he wants to fish. I'd like you to come along, too.
Don't do that.
What?
Talk about tomorrow like it's real, like you'll be here and we'll be here. She did not want to scream again, to shake up the still. On the side were flat leaves, berries the darkest purple. He picked one and ate it.
Huckleberries.
He held one out. She did not take it, instead pulling her own free. It was good, sweeter than she thought. She ate a handful and filled her pockets for Robin.
Bears like them, too.
Hal bent to pick them, and she saw he carried the gun, the same one she'd shot with. She took a breath.
You didn't come back.
He stopped then, straightened up and turned to her.
You didn't come back. You knew my mother. You knew what she was like and what life might have been like for us. You knew she could barely look out for herself. You're bigger than me. You're tall and tough, and we needed—
She broke off, fiddled with her bow, kept her voice even because she would not show him how deep the pain ran.
So when you pointed out all this beauty, all this that you see and you think I see too, you should know it pales beside what I saw before. This purple,
she waved a hand at the huckleberries beside.
This makes me think of her ribs, beat dark like that. The blue water, that's her eyes, clear enough to see there's no soul behind them anymore. You breathe the air and you think it's fresh, but I can't even take a breath without feeling that stab.
She beat her chest hard.
I am alone. I will look after my brother, and you will leave us because you don't really care. And you can say what you like. What you think will make me feel better, but fuck you, Hal. Fuck Montana. And the acres, and the animals, and the—
Her voice shook, so she stopped it there. The moment stretched between them and out over the pines. It swept the sky and the clouds, buried the promise of new so totally. It reduced them to the nothing they were, so small against a backdrop, endless in its beauty. He held a cigar but did not smoke, held the berries but did not eat them. She hoped to God she had shattered all the certainty he saw for them. She turned and closed her eyes tight to the tears, forcing them back. She would not cry.
Chapter 20.
Walk felt the grace slip from Cape Haven as the summer finally began to dim. It began the morning after Star when reporters blocked Ivy Ranch Road and police tape streaked Alien across the Radley home. He felt it then, the streets a degree cooler, the vista a shade off bright. Mothers ushering their kids, shutting big gates and smothering warmth from within. He shouldered it as best he could. Offers rescinded, the cop that was friends with the killer. He spent lazy summer evenings walking every street in the Cape, from the pillared mansions on Kalen Place to the small clapboard homes on the highest roads. He knocked doors, hat in hand, beard there but trimmed a little neater, and he offered a tight smile as the desperation seeped from him. He asked, implored, leaned and probed, and led memories, places they never had been. No one saw anything that night. No cars, or trucks, or anything out of the pristine normality of their summer. He watched security tapes from every store on Main. The quality was shitty, so he could not skip forward. Instead, he viewed in real time, 10 hours, sundown to up, his eyes propped open only by the torment that fell when he closed them. He looked at Dark, tentative. No interview could be called without raising the interest of Dark's lawyer, and in turn, Boyd and the state cops. He made a couple of calls, spoke with a sutler cop, and ran fast-track tolls, hoping to catch an easy lie. He got nothing. Martha had still not agreed to formally represent Vincent, though Walk picked up the phone most evenings and filled her in on what he'd got, which was mostly nothing. One Sunday morning, he drove her to Fairmont, and the two sat with Vincent and reminisced about old times. When talk turned to mounting a defense, Vincent signaled the guard. The two drove the 100 miles back in heavy silence. She invited him in, and again they sat on her porch and sipped beer. She cooked some kind of stew so spicy his cheeks burned while she laughed, and he stuck his tongue into his beer. They talked a little about the past years, how she'd set up where she was needed most. Bitterwater had a low median income and a high crime rate. She spoke of her work with a kind of pride that made him smile. She showed photos of families she had brought back together and letters from kids she had saved from abusive parents. It was left unsaid, the exact time from their past when they'd been torn from each other. They skirted religion. He did not know her feelings anymore after what had transpired between them, her parents, their faith. That was all right. They had a job to do. And Walk didn't ever let that slip from his mind. Not when he leaned in to kiss her cheek, or when she brushed his leg with hers. Sometimes she noticed the way his hands tremored, or the way he shook his head lightly when trying to recall something. And then she watched him like she knew. And when she did that, he told her goodnight and drove back to the Cape, his place, his town. At dusk, he strolled to Ivy Ranch Road, the fundamentals of his job very much in the way of the bigger picture. Brandon met him at the door, no top, just sweatpants. Behind was his old football jersey framed on the wall. Beside that, a pool table, an arcade machine, the staples of a bachelor finding his feet after a decade of perceived servitude. "Is this about that freak across the street again?" Brandon looked past Walk and stared at Milton's place. "You know what I found in my yard, Walk? A fucking head." "A head? A fucking sheep or something, deer, whatever. Hollowed out like a warning." "I'll talk to him. But you know, Brandon, I hear that car fire up from my place." Walk noticed the guy was standing on his toes, looking for an extra inch. "Tell you what," Brandon said. "It is quieter without Star rolling in late. I mean, it's tragic and all, but maybe Milton will sleep easier now he's not waiting up for her. How's that?" Brandon leaned on the doorframe. Tattoo on his chest, some kind of trite Japanese symbol. "Sometimes I got in late and I saw him at the window. He watches the stars." Laughter. "Yeah, one in particular. You ask him about that, Walk. He said you pissed in his yard." "Bullshit." "Whatever, I really don't give a damn. I just don't want either of you on me." "You look tired, Walk. Are you hydrating?" "Listen, Brandon, I'll go over and have the same talk with Milton. But do you think you could just calm things down? I've got a lot on, and I could do without having to come over and see you over some bullshit dispute.
You need to exercise, man. Stress relief. Stop by one night, and we'll drop some circuits. Rock hard.
You know, I tried to patent that for my fitness. Walk left him talking and headed across the street. He knocked on the door.
Walk!
Milton wore a smile so wide, Walk almost felt bad for him.
Can I come in? Into my place?
Walk tried not to sigh.
Yes, I mean, sure, yes, please.
Milton stepped to the side and Walk headed into the house.
You want something to eat?
No, thanks.
You on a diet, Walk? You look thinner. How about a beer?
Sure, Milton. Milton smiled, a little too eager, then disappeared into the kitchen while Walk took in the living room. The place was stacked. Milton, the kind of hoarder that saw even old TV guides kept and piled. He stepped over a cluster of coasters bearing state names he knew well Milton had never visited. He ordered them in from all over, the kind of crap that portrayed a full life, travel, and friends. He had a photo frame on the television set, a picture of a blacktail, dead eyes.
Got that one in Cottrell. Nice, right?
Sure, Milton.
I didn't have beer, just the coffee liqueur. I couldn't find a date on it. Maybe it's been there a while. But liqueur doesn't go bad, right, Walk?
Walk took the glass, set it down, cleared a space to sit, and motioned for Milton to join him.
I wanted to talk to you about that night.
Milton shifted, made to cross his legs, but couldn't quite manage it. Walk sipped his coffee liqueur, tried not to bring it back up.
The way I hear it, you've been talking to everyone in town about that night. But I already told the real cop everything.
Walk took the blow, certain Milton didn't mean it.
Now, you said you heard fighting. That's right.
You also said you saw Vincent and Dark getting into it a few nights before Star was murdered. He flinched at her name. Star used to tell how he'd take her trash cans out if she forgot. Small things. She needed them. Why'd they fight?
I think maybe Vincent King was jealous. I remember them, Walk, back at school. They were like, they'd get married or something, have kids. I thought maybe Vincent had been dwelling on that inside, dreaming up a future based on the past.
A glance around the room, wood-paneled wall, shag beneath his feet. Boulder rocks around the fire, suburban ranch throwing back to the 70s. Air sweetly freshened. Cans all over, but still, it was there. The blood beneath. Milton cleared his throat.
You can't do what isn't right. You can't just skip a piece of the past. Highlight the good, you know?
You called us before, a lot of times. Seemed like every time Star had a man stop by. Even when it was dark, right? Said you were worried. Milton bit his lower lip.
It's part of the watch. But maybe I was mistaken those times. Dark's a good man. It's the way he looks. That's why people talk. I know how it feels. You don't think I hear the kids? Brillo, Wookie, Furby, Meat Packer? Joke's on them, because I don't even pack the meat.
The clock chimed. Sunburst. 10 minutes slow. Milton turned his head. Walk saw a sweat pool beneath his arms.
Hey, Walk, you want to head up to the Mendocino again?
Walk smiled. I enjoyed it, but I think I'm more of a fisherman than a hunter. Get me out on the waves and I'm happy.
Not me. Never did learn to swim. I had the lessons, but I used to open my mouth all the time, try and swallow it all down. I liked the chlorine.
Walk didn't know what to do with that.
Doesn't matter, I got other friends into it.
Milton looked like he was desperate to share.
Yeah?
Walk took the bait.
I went hunting with him.
Who? Milton grinned.
Dark. He took me in his Escalade. You seen it? I tell you, that man can shoot. Brought back 2 blacktail.
That right.
You've got him wrong, Walk. He's...
different?
A good friend.
He said it firm, eyes locked on Walk.
He said he'd come here for the next shower. Not till February, but still, I think he'll actually show.
The barb was there, but Walk didn't have the energy to feel any guilt.
I asked him to come away in the spring. A week, the hunt. I brought him a veil, gaiters, the wax kind.
Walk looked at the spilling shelves beside. So many books, most on hunting.
You don't know him, you should be careful, Milton. So should you, Walk. You look sick.
I also wanted to let you know that I talked to Brandon again. Leah said you called in. Milton stiffened at that.
Well, it didn't do any good.
He does it because he knows I have to be up early.
Last night I went to the window and he was just sitting there, revving the engine. And when he saw me, he smiled. I'm not a kid now, Walk. This isn't like school. You know he used to bully me. Flush my head down the toilet. I don't have to put up with it. I should leave a sheep's head in his yard.
Milton stared, wild eyes, hair spilling from the top of his shirt.
I don't know nothing about that.
You said he urinated in your yard.
Yes, sir.
How'd you know it was him?
Caught in the act. I opened the drapes and came eye to eye with it.
Jesus.
I filed a report, 1098.
Jailbreak.
And you know he's got a boat, fixed it up nice. He keeps it at Harbor Bay.
I figured maybe he'd sell the car and spend his time on the water. He said he's willing to try, if you are. He said you're a decent neighbor and he feels bad about it.
He said that?
Walk knew Milton could not read him at all. So you'll knock all this shit on the head?
It was never on me, Walk.
Walk stared, pleading in his eyes.
Maybe one day I'll send him over a cut or something. Nothing too special, not at first. Chuck. How does that sound?
Thank you, Milton. Milton followed him to the door. On the porch, Walk stopped and looked over across the street.
Oh, mister, Milton said. I'm real sorry.
What?
I'm just sorry she's not there anymore.
We owe it to her and the children to arrest the man that did this.
You already did, Walk.
Milton would not meet his eye, instead letting his wander to the night sky. He stood there, hands deep in his pockets, lost to Walk and the town, and the blood that was spilled. Chapter 21. They sat in the yard as the Santa Ana warmed them. Walk had been trying to sleep, despite the early hour, but instead found himself staring up at the ceiling when he heard the knock at the door.
I can't believe you still live at home, Walk. That's so uncool, Martha said.
She'd brought dinner. Chili she warmed on the old stove that Walk used to store takeout menus. I feel like I should line my mouth with wax before I try this.
Relax, Walk. I went easy. Barely blips on the Scoville. Chili for pussies.
He touched the fork to his tongue and immediately felt the lava.
Seriously? It's like an illness. You are actually ill.
She laughed.
Just eat the cornbread.
You look like you could use it. I hope you're taking care of yourself, Walk. He smiled. You ever miss the Cape?
Every day.
I told Leah I'd been seeing you again.
Seeing me?
I didn't.
She laughed. He blushed.
Leah Tallow. She's still married to Ed?
She is.
Wow.
She must have put up with a lot over the years. I remember him at school. Used to chase after Star. Everyone did.
Tallow Construction. I see their boards up sometimes. I had a client a while back. Husband was laid off by Tallow. He turned to the bottle.
The market is tough. It'll turn.
Especially if they start building all those new homes.
He stood and topped up her wine.
I went to see Milton again.
The butcher. I remember him at school. Does he still smell of blood?
He does.
He's certain he heard arguing, and he'll testify he saw Vincent and Dark get into it outside Star's place. And he'll speculate it was over Star. The agreement was there, uneasy at first, but Martha was settling into it. Walk would work the King case, and anything he found he would bring to her, and she would unravel it and repackage it and tell Walk if it was worth more than a damn in a court of law. She was clear enough, though, under no circumstances would she go to trial. They'd build a case as best they could, and then pass it over to a trial lawyer. And if Vincent wouldn't retain one, then at least she'd tried.
Did you have a chance to look at the papers?
Sure, what else would I be doing? It's not like I need sleep or anything.
He smiled as she left him. went out the side gate to her car, then returned with her briefcase. Walt cleared the dishes away while Martha spread papers out over the table. Citronella burned, 5 candles battled the night sky, and gave them just enough light. Tax returns, statements, company filings, going back 20 years. All Walt could pull on Dickie Dark. The records are straight and ordered, Walt. Dark earns decent money, maybe $250 a year. Nothing really raises any red flags. I went back far when he bought a small home on Lavenham Avenue, Portland, Oregon. I guess that's where he's from. He remodeled and sold it on for a $30,000 profit, which he declared in full. Modest expenses. Then another a block away made $45,000, and then nothing. Nothing. Must have found another income. 4 years of nothing. And then he stepped it up massively. Seemed to move from town to town, working his way along the coast, whenever he could make a buck, just like that. Always real estate? Mostly. A place in Eugene, another in Gold Beach. In the summer of 95, he arrived in the Cape, bought the old bar on Cabrillo, and spent a year trying to get a license. Walk remembered the night it opened. Again, no fuss or launch party, just light in the darkness. The first year it grossed $500,000. Martha sipped her wine. The second year it doubled. It was a gold mine, Walk. And that's just what he declared. Place like that, it's all cash, right? It might be all he had, but it was all he needed. So he leverages that to buy the King House. At least he would have. There were payments, though. Eye-watering payments. To who? My guess would be whoever invested with him, not a bank. Loan shark? Could be. His credit history is sketchy. A lot of moving around. Would have made it hard to borrow from a regular bank. And then he bought the house on Fortuna Avenue. D. Lane's place. And the house on Ivy Ranch Road. The Radley House. Small houses, just rentals, and an investment in a development called Cedar Heights. Walk had seen the advertisements in the local newspaper. Sorry, Walk, nothing strange at all in this. Walk sighed. That club he owned, it's called The Eight, right? Martha said. Yeah. I had a girl from there come in. She had problems with a boyfriend. I think she mentioned Dark once. Can I talk to her? Maybe, I'll ask. We need to know about those payments. All I've got is an account number. Could be something. Or nothing. I know the case file now. What you've got is a whole load of nothing. And what you need is a smoking gun. Nothing short of that. He stood when his cell rang, saw it was Milton. The man sounded breathless, out for his evening walk, burning off some of the meat. He spoke for a minute. Martha gathered the papers. Everything all right? Milton runs neighborhood watch. Martha raised an eyebrow. He's the only member since Etta passed. He said there's a 1091 on Sunset. I'd better head over. 1091? Walk sighed. Stray horse. He drove to Sunset, didn't even think of running the lights. A sedan outside the King House. So nondescript, Walk figured them for cops. He pulled the cruiser up right behind, flashed his lights once, then got out and walked up to the window. 2 men, neither moved to roll down a window. Walk watched the empty street, the empty lots, the moonlit waters of the Cape. A strange car stood out. He tapped the glass gently. Slowly, the driver turned, maybe 50, head of dark hair and handsome. Can I help you with something? Walk smiled. The man looked at his friend, older, maybe 65, beard and glasses. Did we do something? Not that I know of. So fuck off, then. Walk swallowed and felt the adrenaline kick a little. And if I don't? A smile came back, just small, like Walk should have known something he did not and could still be punished for it. We're looking for Richard Dark. Dark doesn't live here. Walk didn't draw, but kept a hand there to show his intent. Any ideas where we can find him? Walk thought of Dark, the payments, the kind of man he was most likely in business with. I don't know where he lives. You see him? Tell him we're not going away, the older guy said, not looking at Walk. The driver started the engine. I need you to step out of the vehicle. The driver looked up at Walk, then at the King House behind.
Doc's good at spinning plates till one drops.
I said, I need you to... The driver closed the window and pulled into the street.
Walt considered chasing, radioing. Instead, he watched them coast sunset, hand still on his gun. She took Robin's hand as they opened the gate and walked over toward the two horses, grazing side by side.
Can you eat with us one time?
Duchess muzzled the black gently, patting his nose with the flat of her hand.
No.
Then she muzzled the smaller gray, tried to pet her, but she moved her face away. Duchess liked her. She roped the muzzles and led them gently, Robin keeping far to the side. He ran the last steps, then closed the gate behind, like she'd shown him. When she was done, she told him good night, then found Robin on a patch of grass by the water. He knew not to go too close, though he could swim well. She rode three buses to the Lido and Oakmont each Saturday for close to a year because they taught kids for free. When she got close, he scooted away.
You're pissed at me.
Yes. He balled a fist and kept it in his lap. He wore shorts, thin legs, knees grazed.
You shouldn't have said that to Tyler. He shouldn't have pushed you down.
Hollow night fell as quick as dusk began, the warmth lifting till nothing but cool remained.
All right. It's not all right, he hit the grass with his fist. I like it here. I like Grandpa, and I like the animals. I like Miss Child in the new school. I don't need...
What? She said it quiet, but the challenge was there. A month back, he would have stayed silent.
You! I've got Grandpa, and he's an adult. He can care for us. I don't want you to fix my food.
He cried quietly. She watched him huddled, chin to chest, knees up and arms around them. She knew about the things that shaped people, memories and events that print your soul. She needed Robin to be all right. More than anything, she needed that. He saw the shrink each week, though no longer told her what was discussed.
I don't have to tell. It's private. I know you're an outlaw, but I'm not. I just want to be a kid.
She scooted nearer, her jeans in the dirt.
You're a prince, remember? Mom said that, and she was right. Just leave me alone.
She made to ruffle his hair, but he moved from her hand, stood, and then ran for the house. For a moment, she thought she might cry, too. Just let the past months and years rot her into the dirt. Wash her skin from her bones and her blood to the water. She heard the rumble of a truck, tensed for a moment, then saw it was Dolly. Dolly left the high beams, cutting a sweep of light over the water.
Mind if I sit a while?
Dolly stopped by now and then. She wore a cream dress, heels with red soles, the kind of woman that did not own work clothes.
I didn't see you at church last week, Duchess said. Bill's been sick.
Her cigarette glowed as she held it away.
Oh. He's been sick a long time. Some days are better than others.
Right.
I missed seeing that dress.
Duchess had cut a new swath to show off her belly button.
You can come by, you know, if you ever want some female company. I don't have siblings, no mother. Grew up fending for myself.
And you're all right.
I'm good at fronting, Duchess. I'm a fucking master. Anyway, Hal knows where to find me if you want to stop by.
I try not to talk to Hal all that much.
And why's that?
Would I have met him, I mean, if my mother... The water slopped gently.
He made the drive,
Duchess turned.
To Cape Haven.
Dolly spoke quietly, as if betraying a trust.
I thought you should know.
When?
Every year, same day, June 2nd.
My birthday. A smile, small though it was.
He'd take a gift. He used to ask me to help him pick out something you'd like. And then, when Robin was born, he'd make that drive twice each year. And this is a man that never takes a day off. Can't afford to.
Duchess glanced back at the old farmhouse.
How'd he know?
Star said she never spoke to him. Oh, she didn't. Stubborn one, your mother. Sounds like someone else I know.
Save it.
He still had someone there, called him now and then. A policeman.
Duchess closed her eyes. Walk.
I never got them. Oh, I know. He'd come back with them. Same each time. Didn't stop him trying, though. He wouldn't see you without your mother's blessing.
She blamed him for everything.
Dolly laid a hand on her shoulder. Duchess knew about her grandmother. Her spirit so free, Duchess still carried the day before Radley. Star had been 17. She tried college, came home early, and saw the note right off. I love you. I'm sorry. Call your father, and don't go into the kitchen. Star never was one to follow rules. Dolly stood.
I brought a pie for Robin. 2-mile-high mud. I reckon he'll be disappointed it's not real mud.
Duchess followed her to the truck and took the pie from her.
Your grandfather is old.
I know.
You ever made a mistake, Duchess?
Duchess thought of the cape, the fire, the fights, scratching Brandon's Mustang.
Never.
Dolly grabbed her, then held her. She smelled of sweet perfume. Duchess tried to break it, but Dolly held her tight.
Don't lose yourself, Duchess.
After, she watched the truck fade. First rain fell on her shoulders. It turned on her fast, so heavy it kicked up the mud around and splashed her legs. She stood there and tilted her head toward the sky, the opening heaven not enough to cleanse her. She found Hal on the porch. He held a towel. She let him wrap her and walked to the seat, took the cocoa he handed, the mug steaming away her protest. The rain fell so loud it drowned the scream of that voice that told her to kick and kick.
Robin is sleeping. He didn't mean what he said.
Hal sat beside her, far enough up the bench.
He did. I saw you in the field. Big sky is beautiful, even in the rain.
Dolly brought a pie.
Duchess handed him the dish by her foot.
Inside, the phone rang. It did not ring often.
She watched the old man head in and speak a few words that did not carry.
Who was it?
Walker.
Did he mention Dark?
He was just checking in.
Dark will come.
There's no way of knowing that.
You don't get it.
Tell me.
He promised he'd come for me.
Why?
She said nothing. They sat and drank and breathed the earthy rain.
I dream more here. I don't want to.
He turned to her.
And my dreams are fucked up.
He did not flinch at the curse.
Tell me.
No.
Tell the gray. She can hear you from here. Just talk. That's all, Duchess.
That's all, she said quietly.
He closed his eyes to the rain.
She saw him then, a life of paid mistake, the lure of second chance, the plaintive ask of redemption.
I rise above the farmhouse and see slates and green, the gutter of leaves that remind me of fall and seasons that change no matter who dies. I am high in the sky, and Montana is a footnote, patchwork fields stitched by tractors like ants, people that bob like they are drowning in ordinary. The ocean is endless, but I see its end. I see the earth. The curves are tomorrow, but it won't turn. I see clouds that hold sky, a sunset in the desert, and a rise over metals. Before long, I am darkness and stars and their moons. The world is a nothing so small, I raise a finger and hide it. I am the God I don't believe in. I am big enough to stop the bad man.
She would not cry.
Hal watched her carefully. If he comes, I will stop him.
Why?
To protect you and Robin.
I can protect us.
You're still a child.
I'm not a child. I'm an outlaw.
He placed an arm around her and she melted into the warmth, hating herself as she did.
Chapter 22. The apartment was above a five and dime. One window punched out and replaced with a board. The other's grimy enough walk couldn't imagine much light made it through. Beside the door was a vent. The smell of Chinese food pumped out, despite the early hour. The girl's name was Julieta Fuentes,
and she'd worked at various clubs as a dancer. Martha had left several messages on her cell, but gave Walk the address when the girl didn't get back. It wasn't on Walk, he didn't press. But Julieta had trouble with an ex, and Martha was worried about her. He found the door open and climbed the narrow staircase. Mold crept its way from the mottled ceiling. He knocked on the door, waited a little, then hammered it. Julieta was small, dark hair, wide hips, the kind of beautiful that almost saw him take a step back. She glared. He flashed his badge, and she glared some more.
My son is sleeping inside.
Sorry, I got your details from Martha May. Julieta softened, then, just enough to take a step out into the narrow hallway and pull the door to behind her. She pressed close to Walk. He tried to move back, dropped down a step, but found his eyes level with her bust. He coughed once, turned a shade of red that saw her glare return.
Get it over with, whatever you want to know.
You worked at the 8.
I took my clothes off for money, is that a crime?
Walk wanted to loosen his collar, felt it constricting the blood, sending even more to his cheeks. I just wanted to ask you a couple questions about Dickie Dark. No change in the glare. He cleared his throat. Martha said you had some trouble with a guy. Is it the father of...
I don't sleep around, officer. Not all girls that dance are whores, you know.
Walk glanced around, half hoping to see backup arrive. I'm sorry, I'm trying to find out about Dickie Dark.
He didn't do it.
What?
Whatever you think he did.
That the party line? She tightened her robe, opened the door a little, and listened out.
My son sleeps late, up all night.
Like his mother. The first hint of a smile.
Listen, people look at Dark and see the size of him. Guess he's some kind of tough guy. I mean, don't get me wrong, he can handle himself. I've seen him. This guy tried to grab me once, and Dark just picked him up by his throat. I mean, clean off the floor. Like something out of a movie.
But he's not violent. Julieta hit his arm, hard enough, something Latin in the move.
You're thinking like an asshole cop.
How should I be thinking? She thought on that.
Maybe like a father looking out for his girl?
That's what Dark was like? She sighed like she was dealing with an asshole cop.
He didn't watch us dancing. He never watched. Never tried to date us. Never asked for a blowjob. And believe me, that's not usual. If we had trouble, came up short, he'd see us right. You talk to any girl from the 8, you won't hear nothing bad about the man.
This guy, father of your son, did Dark sort that, too? She didn't speak, but her eyes told him what he wanted to know. Anything at all you can tell me. He might be in trouble.
What kind of trouble?
There's men looking for him. Two guys, one had a beard and glasses. He could tell by the look on her face, she knew them. I'm just trying to get answers here. Please.
I know those men. They stop by each month, second Friday, left with a fat envelope.
Not unusual, the kind of clubs I worked in. There's always guys collecting. He always paid. She laughed.
You don't have a choice with guys like that. You pay or they make you pay. Dark knows that.
And the fact they're looking for him now.
You think they give a shit the 8 burned? Not their problem. They want their money.
I don't think he can pay them. A flash of concern, then.
He should run.
I'm sure Dark can take care of himself.
You don't understand him. Beneath it all...
Tell me.
There was a dancer there, Isabella. Now that one was a whore. She thought Dark had money, so she made her move, and he told her he wasn't interested.
Did he say why?
He said he didn't look at her that way. Said he had a girl, that was all.
We never saw her. So he was seeing someone. Anything else, even if you think it doesn't matter?
Jesus, you cops, keep pushing, right?
Please, it's important, anything.
You're looking to bust the man, but all I can tell you is he looked out for us, for me, and another girl. We were his favorites.
Why?
We had kids. He was protective, soft even. One night I didn't show for work and he turned up here. He saw me, my face that night. He was worried.
And the other girl?
Layla. He was the same with her. He even took them out. Six flags. I mean, even I was jealous. He's a decent guy.
Can I talk to Layla?
She's gone, somewhere out west, her and her little girl.
She had a daughter.
Yeah, I used to have a picture on her locker. Beautiful girl.
Walk heard noise from inside. The kid calling out.
We done here?
Sure.
Happy hunting, officer.
An hour to Dark's place. On the drive, he called Martha. Julieta's ex-boyfriend was Max Cortinez, and he was beaten half to death outside a bar in Bitterwater 2 months prior.
Walk got Martha to read the report.
Max was stamped on so hard and so many times he'd lost all but one of his teeth. Big boots. Max, the kind of guy Bitterwater PD didn't waste any hours on. Walk tried to call him direct, got told to fuck off when the guy finally answered his cell. Walk caught his own eyes in the rearview mirror. Beard a little longer, face a little thinner. Slow slide toward someplace darker. Not just his body betraying him. He no longer questioned breaking the kind of rules he'd based a life on. It would lead somewhere bad. It couldn't not. Cedar Heights, a half-finished estate, wide lots, grand and soulless. A gatehouse, the brick too new. Even the woodland surrounding had an air of manufactured. Dark had put money into the place. He drew up by the barrier. A man stepped out, straggly beard, smart polo, strong smell of weed. The kind of eyes that told Walk he existed in a permanent state of confusion.
Morning, officer.
I'm here to see Dickie Dark.
The man looked toward the sky, scratched the beard, and tapped the side of his head like he was working loose an answer.
I don't think he's home. I haven't seen him.
He's expecting me. A minute passed while the guy made a call.
He's not picking up.
I'll go and knock. Another beard scratch.
Walk leaned an arm out while the man weighed things.
What's your name?
Moses Dupree.
A silent flinch.
Beside was a water fountain, dry and green. Mosaic tiles were missing in spots.
I'll say I steamrolled you, Moses. How's that sound?
Threaten to make a scene? Knock his neighbor's doors? Well, to be honest, there's not a lot of neighbors.
Which house? Moses pointed.
Dark, Mr. Dark. He stays in the model home at the moment. You can pull up right on the driveway.
Inside was a single road that curved its way around a dozen homes. A couple were finished. Most were boarded. Scaffold stood, half painted. A pile of rubble towered. The model home sat by woodland. Pretty enough, white stucco, pillars, and sash windows. Walk hated the place, the sterile feel. He thought of Cape Haven and the will to make it someplace like this. People were buying parcels of coast that didn't yet have planning permission. He hoped he'd be long dead before the green tide rolled in. Up close, the house had already aged. A deep crack crept its way to broken guttering that hung loose. Grass grew long. Weeds poked their way through beds. The door was large. Walk couldn't find a bell, so he hammered the way cops did on television. Heavy, urgent thumps. He stood there a while, birds singing at him. He walked along the front of the house, the drapes pulled, no gaps at all. At the side was a gate, wrought iron, black and heavy, but open when he tried it. A pool barbecue area built up and out, TV screened by the chairs. Walk stopped still when he saw the back door open.
Dark,
he called.
He stepped inside. His heart beat quick. Thought of drawing, but found his hands not cooperating. That's how it was now. A fan spun above. He saw neat order. Opened a cabinet to canned food, labels front. Perfectly so. He moved through, sweating now. Past the dining room, an office, the living room, television on, the sound muted, ESPN. Carl Ravitch in front of a wall of books, talking Bautista and Braves. The whole place was dressed, every item carefully chosen to project an ideal. He saw plastic fruit in a bowl, plastic flowers on a side table, and photo frames filled with a model family sporting plastic smiles. He imagined Dark living there alone, big and awkward, and trying not to make a mess. Walt climbed the stairs. Wood carpet runner, cream and thick.
He passed a mirror and saw himself reflected, hand still on his gun. A kid playing cowboys, hunting down Vincent and his plastic tomahawk. He tried guest rooms, 3 before he found the master. Everything immaculate.
What are you doing here?
He spun, his heart hammered away. Dark stood at the top of the stairs, shorts and vest and earphones in. The stare was cold and hard.
I came to check on you.
Just the stare, nothing more.
There were people asking about you. Didn't look like the kind of guys you want to pay a visit.
Walk followed him down the stairs and into a plush den.
You want to get this over with?
Walk took a seat on the soft leather couch. Dark stayed standing. The gulf between them grew.
Julieta Fuentes, Walk said, and then watched.
Sweat coated Dark, down-muscled arms and legs.
You remember Julieta? I remember everyone that works for me.
You remember her boyfriend, Max Cortinez?
Nothing.
Walk stood and moved over to the window. The yard was small but landscaped, trees and borders, some kind of sculpture carved out of a log.
I don't blame you. What you did to Max?
It was one-sided, him and Julieta. You evened things up.
Dark just stared, but for a moment, something else crept in. Sadness, maybe regret.
It's noble, you did her a favor. You showed heart. Julieta earned more than the others.
And then the fit. He was protecting his asset. Dickie Dark, his sole purpose, the pursuit of money. Walk's throat dried as he strayed deeper.
You lost it, though.
Beat him too badly. He could have died. Is that what happened with Star?
Dark's face, the disappointment, plain enough. You're asking the wrong questions to the wrong person.
Walk moved closer, adrenaline firing again.
I don't think so. Vincent King, you don't want to see the man he is, only the boy he was.
Walk took another step.
Dark straightened up. You're out of your depth. You're losing yourself. I know how that feels.
How does it feel?
Sometimes we just want to get on. People get in the way of that.
How did Star get in the way?
How's her girl doing? You told her I was thinking about her.
Walk tensed at that, grit his teeth. Another day and he might have squared off with the bigger man. Another day or maybe another life. His breathing grew so labored the room started to dim.
I better get on.
He walked out and into the kitchen. Dark followed. Walk slowed a little as he felt the blood rush from his head. He held out a hand to steady himself. The medication, the fucking disease making him weak. By the street door, he noticed it, the small case in the corner.
You taking a trip, Dark?
Business.
Anywhere nice?
Walk turned to face him.
Somewhere I was hoping I wouldn't have to visit.
The moment passed between them, and then Walk turned and left, climbed into the cruiser and headed back to the Cape. It wasn't till he crossed the town line that he pulled over and dialed Montana. Chapter 23. It rained so long, Duchess took to sitting by the window on the box seat, sky-watching, just like the old man. She noticed him watching her close and watching the drive like he was waiting on a visitor. Robin got sick, a flu that saw him take to his bed for a week. Duchess brought him hot drinks and fussed, though it sat there between them, like a weight on her chest, a kind of divide she would break down, absolutely. On the third night, his fever spiked. He cried out for their mother, up in bed, slick hair and wild eyes. He screamed and wrenched sounds from deep, a kind of pain she knew well herself. Hal was panicked, asking Duchess if he should call a doctor or an ambulance. She ignored him, wet a cloth, and stripped Robin naked. She sat with him all night, Hal by the door, not speaking, just there. The next morning it broke and he ate a little soup. Hal carried him down and settled him on the porch swing so he could watch the rain and breathe the mist.
I like how it drums the lake, Robin said.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what I said before.
She turned and knelt on the rough wood, her pants already torn at the knee from working her jobs.
You don't ever need to say that to me.
Hal had a VCR. They watched Rita Hayworth one lazy Sunday. Duchess did not know a woman could be so exquisite. And then, in the attic, she discovered a bag full of westerns, sat beside the old man and watched them through the night till Robin was all better. For a day, she lost her name and chased a band of Mexicans through sapping wheat, Hal watching on from the porch, shaking his head like he'd taken in a loon. She called him Tuco and told him he was the ugly and she was the bad. The good clapped his hands, his curls rain plastered his yellow mac dripping wet. On days she practiced, she marched 100 yards back, hit the tree bang center, and called herself Sundance. The first time she rode the gray, she felt as close to Butch as she ever had. Close to her blood, a little less foreign, a root taking hold in Montana earth. She lay a hand on the gray and felt the heat from her, patted gently and told the horse she wouldn't ever kick her, and in return, maybe she could agree not to throw a cowgirl to the dirt. She gripped the horn tight and shook rain from her hair as Hal led her around the paddock, just a gentle trot that left her fighting the widest smile when she was done. Another week and she watched the endless carbon sky begin to crack and the rain ease, the blue edge its way in, and sunlight bless the ground for the first time in a month. As she looked out across the land, she saw Hal by the harrow and Robin by the coop, both of them turning skyward and smiling. Hal raised a hand, Robin too. And then slowly, with great effort, Duchess raised her own to them both. In math, she learned the triangle was the strongest shape. There was a gradualism to Montana days, fall sweeping them along with leaves, 1,000 kinds of brown. One Saturday, Hal drove them to Glacier. They hiked to Running Eagle Falls, the aspens catching the light and stopping her breath. They walked on a carpet of leaves, some so big they came to Robin's shoulder when he drew them up. He tried to collect them, got so many he could barely see over. Hal brought them to a clearing and they watched the stark yellow cottonwoods wave like fool's gold. Beautiful, Hal said. Beautiful, Robin echoed. Duchess just stared. Some days, mean and tough was hard to locate. They stopped at rocks, water cascading loud. They stood beside a family of four, so symmetrical Duchess looked away from the mother and father like they'd committed a modern-day sin. She reasoned they'd divorce soon enough, hardened their little angels, till all that was left was slammed doors and angry tears. She did smile at that. Duchess still wore her dress each Sunday to Canyon View Baptist. Each time Hal still frowned, and the other kids still stared, but the old people, the couples that stopped and bowed, widowed ladies that carried themselves with earned decency, they all took to her. None more so than Dolly, who sought her out most weekends and sat beside her. Fall shadows, the candles and lanterns needed. Robin sat across with three other kids, brothers all older, but they let him trail them. Their mother hushed them now and then. Robin watched them in quiet awe, bigger boys. There was nothing that compared. He will come.
Who?
Hal said.
Dark, you should know that he will come.
He won't. I'm Josie Wales and he's a Union soldier. The bounty is my blood. He will come.
You still haven't told me why you think he's coming.
He thinks I wronged him.
Did you?
Yes. The old priest called communion and she watched the line form. So hungry for purgation, they'd share cheap wine and spit.
You want to go up?
Hal said, same every week.
Do I want to contract herpes, Hal?
He looked away, and Duchess took that as a small victory. Robin lined up with the bigger boys. He wore an old Mississippi necktie they found in the attic and a Panama hat, at least 7 sizes too big. As they passed, Robin turned to them.
John, Ralph, and Danny are going up to take communion. I want to stay with them, but I don't want to contract herpes.
Hal frowned at Duchess. They stayed for cake. Duchess ate a slice of chocolate and a slice of lemon, made eyes at a slice of pear and date, but an old lady took it before she committed. She had gained a little weight, enough to edge off the severity. When they arrived back at the farmhouse, Duchess saw the bicycle, old and shitty, laying in the dirt by the porch.
It's Thomas Noble,
Robin said, his face at the glass. Thomas Noble stood at the bottom step, bad hand tucked into the pocket of green corduroys. He wore a smart green shirt and green jacket.
Jesus, he looks like a fucking booger.
They climbed from the car. Duchess stood, hand on hip, and scowling.
What are you doing here, Thomas Noble?
He swallowed, looked at her dress, then swallowed again.
I hope you're not checking me out. Hal will shoot you, right, Hal?
Yes, Hal said. Then he ushered Robin into the house, made a promise to let him drive the riding mower after he changed out of his church clothes.
The math paper, I needed someone to...
Don't even try that bullshit.
I just thought maybe we could hang out, being as I live just over there.
He pointed with his good hand.
I know Radley Land, there's no neighbor close. How long did you ride?
Thomas Noble scratched his head.
4 miles, maybe. Mom said I could do with the exercise. You're skinny to the point of malnourishment. She'd do better advising a change of diet.
He smiled a simple smile. I'm not fixing you any lunch or even a drink. This isn't the 1950s.
I know.
Well, I'm going to pull the weeds by the water. Work doesn't stop just because you don't have the good sense to call ahead. She went into the house, changed into her old jeans and shirt, then found him still there, standing dumb and looking down at his sneakers.
I suppose you can make yourself useful and help me.
Yes, he said quick. He trailed her down to the lake edge, knelt beside and pulled weeds she pointed at. She took a cigar from her pocket, stolen from Hal's dresser.
You can't smoke that, you'll catch the cancer.
She flipped him off, then bit the top off the cigar and spit it into the dirt.
Jesse John Raymond held a smoke in his mouth when he slaughtered the coward Pat Buchanan.
She gripped the cigar in her teeth.
You got a light? Do I look like the kind of boy that has a light?
Fair point. I could just chew it like Billy Ross Clanton.
I think that's a different type of tobacco.
You know nothing, Thomas Noble. Duchess bit a large chunk off the cigar, chewed, and tried mightily not to vomit. Thomas Noble cleared his throat, then squinted up at her.
So, the reason I came, there's this dance approaching us, the winter formal.
I hope you're not working up the courage to ask me, now of all times, when I got a mouthful of tobacco? He shook his head quickly, then went back to the task.
You should know that I don't intend to marry, and I especially wouldn't marry you, with the hand. It's not hereditary. I was an anomaly. Dr. Ramirez, I'm an outlaw. I'm not going to take the word of a Mexican.
He worked on in silence, then stopped to squint up at her again.
I'll do your math homework for a month.
All right.
All right, yes?
No. I still wouldn't go with you, but I'll permit you to do my math.
Is it because I'm black?
No, it's because you're a weakling, asshole. I'm looking for bravery in a man.
But I'm a fucking outlaw. When will you realize that? I don't dress up nice and date boys. I've got bigger things on.
Like what?
There's a man after me, she said.
And he watched her carefully.
A man named Dickie Dark, and he drives a black Escalade, and he wants to kill me.
So, you want to do something useful. You keep an eye out for him.
Why does he want to kill you?
He thinks I wronged him.
Tell the cops or your grandfather.
I can't tell anyone. If they find out what I did, I'll get in shit. They might take me away from Robin.
I'll look out.
You ever done anything brave in your whole life? Another head scratch.
The tire swing by Cali Creek.
That's not brave.
You try it with one hand.
She almost smiled.
My mother birthed me without pain relief. Bravery is passed down, right?
Shit, Thomas Noble. You must have weighed a couple ounces when you were born. Probably shot out when she sneezed. He went back to pulling, squinting the whole time.
Where are your glasses?
I don't even need them.
You're pulling the fucking bluebells. I happen to like bluebells.
He gingerly laid the bluebell carcass back on the bank.
It's not always easy to be brave, you know. I'm not like you. You see the kids laughing at me? They're in a group, a head taller, bigger. They've got muscles.
It's not about how big you are, it's the way you sell it. He thought on that.
So I act like I can fight?
And then you don't have to.
This man looking for you, will it work on him?
No, you see him and you tell me right away.
All right. But maybe you should be more worried about that kid you threatened, Tyler. He has an older brother, and he's looking for you.
She waved a hand.
Fuck him and his family. Now pull that big weed and then be on your way. It'll be dark by the time you make it home. And you can ill afford to get hit by a truck and lose use of another limb.
He stood with reluctance. She watched him walk, pick up his bicycle, and set off toward the gate. She waited till he was out of sight before she spit out a mouthful of tobacco, shuddered, and scraped her tongue with her fingers.